You are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled, A Nation is Reborn, is the second message in our series, His Coming is Coming, and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
You know, it's pretty cool when you sing a song that's actually in the walls. And they sang a new song in heaven, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood that we just celebrated here, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they'll reign on the earth." In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." The angels sing these songs for what Jesus has done on the cross for you and I. It's kind of nice to join the angels in song, wouldn't you say? Would you all stand with me this morning as we read the word of the Lord? And this morning we're going to find ourselves in a very cool passage in the Bible found in the Gospel of Matthew in the 24th chapter. Jesus' words on Tuesday before he passed away on the cross. We're going to read verses 1 through 15. It says, "Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. 'Do you see all these things?' he asked. 'Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down.' As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. 'Tell us,' they said, 'when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age?'" Good question, actually. "Jesus answered, 'Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the birth pains. They're going to hand you over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So when you see in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand." Lord, help us to understand. Father, we've left our homes this morning to come to this house. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come as worshipers this morning to worship the Lord God in spirit and truth. Lord, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us in a very special way this morning. May we have a glimpse of you this morning, God. Lord, you are a great shepherd that watches over his flock, and we are your flock. And we're so thankful, God, that you know each one of us by name, that you care for us individually. You are a personal, individual Savior for each one of us. God, you are intimately acquainted with all of our ways. And Lord, we gather here in a community, in a family, to worship you and to learn, God. So, Father, would you send your Spirit upon us that we might understand the things that's been freely given to us in the Scriptures? We pray, Lord, that you would touch our eyes that we might see and touch our ears that we might hear what it is that you want to speak into our lives. God, we ask, Lord, that you help us understand, man, what's going on in the world? What are you doing? So we pray this for your glory and for your kingdom, and these things we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those who love God would say what?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all may be seated, and good to see you this morning. Hope you're having a good summer. I just was talking with some brother of mine who just came back from Kauai, and he got to see the island of Kauai. There are many people traveling from all over the world, and I'm glad to see that you are hopefully spending time with family and with friends this summer. The men are down at Palm Springs right now playing golf at Trilogy. It's a golf course that Tiger Woods won in the Skins game in 2006, and now our men are playing it. So we need to pray for them because I kid you not, yesterday in our tournament, you could hear the balls racking off houses and roofs around the golf course. But they're having a good time. And more importantly, well, they're having a good time and just really having great fellowship there. And we had a great speaker, good discussion last night. I came out early this morning. And we have a big chunk of our people. God bless them. They're on the missions field right now. Pastor Jonathan will be bringing back a group of people this week, so we're excited about what's going on with them. And indeed, sign up for camp. It's going to be awesome. Last week, I thought it'd be fun to kind of start a summer series called His Coming is Coming. His Coming is Coming. Is that true, by the way? How do you know that it's true? Because he said so. Is Jesus trustworthy? Has Jesus come the first time? He said he was coming again. Is it true? Did you know that in the New Testament, one verse in 25 deals with the Lord's return? Did you know that in the New Testament, the Lord's coming is mentioned 318 times in 260 chapters? Did you know that of the 27 books of the New Testament, the coming of Jesus is mentioned in all of them but four? Now, you all would know that if you were here last Sunday, because you took notes on that. But I just want to bring your mind to that again. His coming is coming. One day, Jesus was walking with his disciples in Jerusalem, and they pointed out to him, they're walking, by the way, I'll be walking with a group of people here next April, right around the area where his disciples were. And they, as they were walking around the second temple, they pointed out the buildings, these huge monstrosity of Herod's temple, gorgeous, beautiful. And as they were pointing out the building, Jesus said these words to them. He says, "Do you see all these things? Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left upon another that will be thrown down." And as he said these words, they were stunned. Sometimes when Jesus says something, it just kind of takes your breath away. When he said this, it took their breath away. The temple's going to be destroyed. And they actually went across the Kidron Valley out of Jerusalem up into the Mount of Olives, and they sat, and Jesus, it sounds like a private conversation. They pulled him aside quietly, probably with a lot of shock, and they asked him, "When is this coming?" And not only do they ask him, "When is this coming?" but they throw on top of it, "And what is the coming of you? The end of the age? When is Messiah coming in glory and power?" And you know what? He didn't say, "I'm not going to tell you." What he did say was these words. Jesus sitting on the Mount of Olives, disciples came to him privately. "Tell us, when will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Question, what will the world look like when Jesus comes again? What is the world supposed to look like when Jesus comes again. Is the world supposed to be better or worse when Jesus comes again? Does Jesus say that mankind's going to evolve into better themselves over time, right? That they're going to better themselves in terms of morals and actions and attitudes? Did Jesus say that in time, mankind is going to learn to quit stealing, lying, cheating, and murdering one another? Is that what Jesus said? Jesus said, man, when I come back again, you want to know what the world's going to look like? It's going to look worse. It's going to look worse. That the same heart or the same attitudes, the same sinful nature that's in humanity will exist into the future. That mankind is not going to evolve to a higher plane of ethical thought. But we're still going to be really good at deceiving and lying and cheating and stealing and killing each other for our own purposes. Jesus says right before his coming, deception will be high. False prophets and messiahs will be on the rise, deceiving and lying many people. He says many people will follow false religious leaders and teachers. Many. He says there is going to be an increase of wars and rumors of wars, an increase of earthquakes and famines on the earth. He says there's going to be an increase of the persecution of believers. He says that a time is coming when wickedness will prevail and most people's love for one another will grow cold. And he says that all of this is birth pains. Now, how many people in here have ever seen a baby be born? I'm just kind of curious, because I have. If there was ever a day when I was really thankful I was a guy, is when I watched my beautiful lady give birth to my three sons. And you know the funny thing is about all that? You can predict the baby's coming, but you cannot predict the day or the hour. They're guessing. Even in labor, how long? 2 minutes? 2 hours? 2 days? But you know it's coming, you see. Jesus uses the picture of a lady in birth pains as describing what the world's going to look like with just bad things happening. And you'll notice, by the way, because I remember watching that little whoosh, 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 and I could see when the contractions were getting gnarly, there's a surf term. Did you know we had great surf this last week? Just thought I'd share with you. We had some really amazing waves this last. When you see that getting high, and I'm looking over at her, and she'd be grincing, you know? And then it would release, and then it would, and it gets more intense before the baby comes. Now, Jesus uses this analogy about, hey, the world's going to be not pretty when I come back, and it's actually going to be getting intensely worse. So a key observation of Matthew 24, just straight off the bat. You ready to take notes? Disciples, students, learners, write this down. Jesus says that the world will be worse before his return, not better. The humanists say that mankind's just going to learn to better themselves. Star Trek was built on that. Any Star Trekkies in here? Oh, we just evolved to fly into space and stars. And it's not the truth. Jesus doesn't agree. Mankind is still going to be stuck in his brokenness. Jesus says the world will be worse before he returns. Is the world worse today than it was in the day of Jesus? I didn't live in the day of Jesus. But when you study and look at the world he lived in and compare to the world of today. What's going on? By the way, is there many false prophets and messiahs out there? And how many people are following them? Many. Jesus used the words. Now, I don't want to mean to be mean, but I'm going to tell you this. Jesus would say that Muhammad's a false prophet. Can I say that and still be cool with you? 1.6 billion people follow that prophet and growing in the world today. When Jesus said these words, Muhammad wouldn't even be born for another 600 years. Can I say this morning? Joseph Smith's a false prophet. Is that okay with you? Can I say that? I love Mormons. I have Mormon neighbors. I think Mormons are wonderful people. I love their ethics for the most part. But I don't believe in their ism, Mormonism, and I don't believe in their prophet or their modern day prophets. They believe they have prophets today. False prophet. How many people follow Joseph Smith? Millions and millions. Jesus said that in the last days, or the days before his coming, there's going to be deception at an all-time high. Lots of people. Jesus used the word many. Is it happening? How about wars? How about wars? It's too bad that we have to war against one another. How sad is it that human beings war and kill other human beings? Is that pretty sick, really, when you think about it? Has wars gotten better or worse since Jesus said these words? Do you know that in the 20th century that we just left, we're now in the 21st century, in the 20th century, more people died in war in the 20th century than all the previous centuries of humanity combined? World War I? World War II? You know, the Russians lost tens of millions of people. Adolf Hitler is an instrument of mass murder on an amazing scale of war. Do you know that in the last 100 years, more human beings died because of war than all previous years of humanity combined? Throw them in there. Now, Jesus said that what will the world look like when he comes? Because there will be wars and increases of wars. Have wars increased since Jesus said these words? Earthquakes, famines, persecution of believers, on the rise. Are Christians being persecuted around the world? Is that decreasing or increasing? It's increasing, friends. Did you know that Jesus said all this would happen 2,000 years ago? In Matthew 24, Jesus was saying things that was startling and confusing. As he began speaking, they were like, whoa, right? And he starts off with the temple's going to be destroyed, Matthew 24. But he ends with the temple being around and something really bad happening in the temple called the abomination of desolation spoken to the prophet Daniel. And by the way, just to let you know, what that means is that someday in the future, Jesus says that some world leader is going to go into the temple in Jerusalem and going to declare himself God. And when that happens, it's bad. It's bad. Jesus is saying the temple's going to be destroyed, but then the temple's going to be around when the Son of Man comes. Well, that's a little confusing, isn't it? He says, by the way, in Luke 21, Jesus says that the Jewish people are going to be deported out of their land. But he says, well, when the Son of Man returns, the Jewish temple and the Jewish people will be in their land. Now, that's a little confusing, isn't it? Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters, this morning? I realize you probably are quite busy and you have a lot going on in your lives and you probably have a lot of things to do on your to-do list. But if I can get you just to look your eyes up a little bit and see what's going on in the world, you'd be amazed what's going on, and certainly in the prophetic calendar. Because I want to tell you straight up that you and I are living in very exciting days prophetically. Prophetically, on the prophetic calendar. This morning, I want to show you a miracle in the Bible that is being played out today in your world. To show you this, I'm going to need you to just think with me a little bit. Focus with me on this, track with me, because I'm going to use the prophecies of Isaiah, which was written 700 years before Jesus was born. I'm going to use and speak of Ezekiel, which is a prophet in 570 years before Jesus was born. And then I'm going to cruise to Amos, Jeremiah, and then I'm going to even read Jesus himself. And I want to just read to you some scriptures that speaks on an amazing topic. And I want you to track with me on this. So just watch this, right? You ready? What we're about to discuss or talk about or read about is a section of scripture talking about the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, and them being in the nation and them being out of the nation, being in the land, being out of the land, 700 years before Jesus was born. Okay? Watch this. For example, Isaiah 11 and 12. Prophet Isaiah says, "Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time with his hand the remnant of his people who will remain from Assyria and Egypt and Pathros and Cush and Elam and Haphtha and Shamar and from the islands of the sea. And he will lift up a standard for the nations and will assemble the banished ones of Israel and will gather dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." Isaiah 43:5-6 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth." From the ends of the earth. Amos 4:14-15 says, "Also, I will restore the captivity of my people Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities, and they'll live in them, and they will plant vineyards and drink their wine and make gardens and eat their fruit, and I will also plant them on their land, and they will not again be rooted out from their land, which I have given them, says the Lord your God." That one's key. "And I will plant them on their land, and they will not again be rooted out from their land, which I've given them, says the Lord their God." Y'all get that? Jeremiah 16:14-15 says, "Therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be said, as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt." Y'all remember Moses? "But as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north and from all the countries where he has banished them, for I will restore them to their own land, which I've given to their fathers." Here's Jesus, 32 AD. "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation's at hand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in their midst of the city depart. Let not those who are in the country enter the city, because of these days of vengeance, in order that all these things which are written may be fulfilled." When something's written, it needs to be fulfilled, says Jesus. "Woe to those who are with child and those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations." And who will be led captive into all the nations? The Jewish people living in Jerusalem. Jesus said these words in 32 AD. Jesus is predicting a deportation of the Jewish people spoken by the prophets long before. "And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive into all the nations." Jesus said this. "And Jerusalem will be trampled under the foot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Jesus said all this. These words are written all by 32 AD. Has anything happened since 32 AD to the Jewish people? Well, Pastor Franks loves history, and I'm going to just tell you a little bit about what happened. Because Jesus said these words. He died in 32 AD, rose up from the grave in 32 AD, ascended into heaven 32 AD. In 66 AD, the Jews decided they didn't want to live under the boot of Rome anymore. They created a revolt. It's called the Jewish Revolt of 66 AD to 70 AD. And guess what? Romans don't like it when you don't tell them, we don't want you to rule over us anymore. We're going to start killing your soldiers. They kicked the Romans out of Jerusalem. But the emperor didn't like it. So he sent his armies back to Jerusalem. And did you know in 70 AD, the 12th Legion of Rome, Vespasian, he burned and destroyed the Jewish temple. And the whole temple, all the stones that were on the temple was pushed over by the soldiers onto the ground. Not one stone was left standing. Did y'all know that? But then the Jews got angry again. And so they rebelled against the Romans again in 132. And the Romans came back a second time, slaughtered over 1 million Jewish people. And do you know what they did to the rest of them? They took them as slaves throughout the Roman world. They deported all of the Jewish people out of their land and made them slaves throughout the Roman world. They're gone. Who said that was going to happen in 32 AD? Anyone? Jesus did. And it happened. Okay? How you doing? You all right? Write these, take notes here. Because this was all prophesied that it was going to happen. And Jesus just said, remember what was written? Well, it's happening. Okay? Take notes on this. When you read Isaiah 11:11, you'll read that the Jewish people will be forced out of their land twice. Judah specifically, twice. The second time that they're deported, they will be brought back from all, A-L-L, all the nations. Isaiah 43 says, from the four corners of the earth. When this happens, they will once again live in their land of Israel. This is in Ezekiel 37. They will rebuild their cities. Amos 9:14. And they will not, God says, they will not be taken out of their land ever again. Ever again. And the prophecy reads that when all this happens, the God will be praised and remembered more for the miracle of God restoring the Jewish people from the four corners of the earth and being brought to their land than from God taking them out of Egypt during the days of Moses. And in Jesus' words of Luke 21, he says, it's all coming. Here comes the second deportation and the destruction of the temple. And he says it in 32 AD. And 34 years later, everything that Jesus said started to come true. This isn't once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away. Dun, 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 dun. This is not science fiction. It's truth. It's all fact. And it's all happened. The cool thing is Jesus told you it was going to happen before it happened. How did he do that? Have you been able to predict anything that's going to happen 34 years from now? Can anybody in here predict something that's going to happen 34 years from now with complete detail? I'd love to hear from you. He does it all the time. How does Jesus do that? It's because he's the Son of God, friends. How did the Jewish people get to Auschwitz and Dachau in World War II? How did the Jewish people get to Eastern Europe and Western Europe 70 years ago when you can see the black and whites? How did the Jewish people get out of their land 2,000 years ago? How did they get thrown into the four corners of the earth, specifically into the European nations? How did they get there? Answer, the Romans. The Romans deported all of them out of their land. And Hitler wants to eliminate them. And he did a pretty good job, don't you think? Killed 6 million of them. Burned them in ovens. After World War II, something incredible happened in history. How many people have been alive in the 50s? Raise your hand. In the 60s? Anyway, was anybody alive in 1948? How many people was alive in 1967? Amazing things are happening in your world because after 2,000 years, the Jewish people are out of their land. Guess what they want? Guess where they want to go after World War II? They want to go home. And so after 2,000 years, the miracle of the Jewish people, after 2,000 years, 2,000 years of them being out of their land, them not being a nation, they preserved their ethnic identity in group. They maintained a national identity without a homeland. It's unprecedented in history. Has anybody in here ever met a Jebusite? I'd just like to know. Or a Canaanite? Or an Amorite? How many people in here has ever met a Jewish person? Raise your hand. Did you know that the Jewish people have been around a long time? And the miracle of the Jewish people, if they've kept their ethnic identity and nationality, being out of a land that was given to them for 2,000 years. But after 2,000 years, there was this call to return home. And they came home. They came out of the concentration camps and they were wanting to go back to Jerusalem. If I can't trust any nation to take, not murder me, I want my own nation. In 1948, May 14th, 1948, the nation of Israel was reborn after 2,000 years. Do y'all know that? You know what's really amazing about that? It was all prophesied before it even happened. By the way, when they declared their statehood, how did their neighbors respond? Anyone? See, this gets real tricky. Can I be straight up? Let's say that us Californians have all been captured by the Russians, took over America, and they deported all the Californians out of California. And let's say we go live in California for 2,000 years, and all of a sudden there's some great uprising, and we have some religious book that says that our God's going to bring us Californians back to our homeland in California. In 2,000 years, we come back. Guess who's living in your homes? Do you think that they just left your homes like that for 2,000 years? No. So as you're returning home, you're telling them, well, this is my land. And they're looking at you going, well, no, it's not. It's our land. And, well, my family lived here 2,000 years. Well, my family's been living here for 1,900 years. And I mean, can you see the problem? This is political problems happening in the Middle East and the United Nations today. It's just the way it is. When the Jewish nation declared their independence, they immediately were attacked by five countries. Do y'all know that? In 1948. When, within hours of their declaration that the Jewish nation has been reborn, the armies of Jordan, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq launched an attack on the Jewish people. And their goal was to drive every Jew out of the Holy Land or Palestine. 5-1. Anybody want to guess who you think's going to win? Who won? The Jews. Amazing. When I went to Israel I lead study tours there. 1996, we were in the Holy Land. A guy named Jacob was our tour guide. The guy had a gnarly scar on his arm and a gnarly scar on his face. And he was our guide, and he was a kid that was liberated from the Russians, liberated him out of a concentration camp. Lost his mother and father, grandmother, grandfather. He was the only kid surviving of his family after World War II. Where is this man supposed to live? All his family's gone. He got on a boat, the age of 16 years old, and stowed away on a ship and landed in Joppa, in Israel in 1948. And when they got off the boat, he lived in a concentration camp for like 3 years. You understand me? They gave him a World War I bolt rifle because as he came off the boat, and he told me this, he came off the boat in Joppa, they handed him a World War I rifle, and he went out and he was a wild man. He says, if anybody's going to kill me, at least I'm going to defend myself. And I'm going to fight for a land. I got goosebumps. This guy was intense. He had the eye of the tiger. And he fought in 1948. And in 1956, Suez War, in 1967. And now he's one of our guides. He's my guide. This guy had an amazing story. He lived it. His name was Jacob. Israel is reestablished as a nation in 1948, and they can't get beat. They keep taking land and beating armies five times the size of them against all odds. The 1967 war is huge because they recapture the Jerusalem, the city of the king, they say, the city of David, the city of Messiah, but they don't believe the future Messiah, not Jesus. And in 1967, they take the Wailing Wall and the Temple Mount, and it is a total mess geopolitically what's going on in the world. But they're there. What does the scripture say is going to happen to the Jewish nation when they're reestablished? Now let me read it again. Also, I will restore, Amos 9, the captivity of my people Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities, and they'll live in them, and they will plant vineyards and drink their wine and make gardens and eat their fruit, and I will plant them on their land, notice, and they will not again be rooted out from their land, which I've given them, says who? God. Are they leaving? According to God. No. Why? Because God said so. Friends, they have to be there for the return of Jesus. It's all prophetic. His coming is coming. Can you all say that with me? His coming is coming. Well, when he comes, what's the world supposed to look like? Well, Jesus tells us it. So study his word. And look around at your world. Take a deep breath. The PLO's charter is to push the people of Israel into the Palestinian Liberation Organization. They want to push the Jews into the Mediterranean and eliminate the land of Israel. Are they going to do that? Iran says that they're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And our president just told him you can't build a nuclear bomb for 10 years. Actually, and in terms of like nations, 10 years isn't that long. Iran says we're going to eliminate and annihilate Israel, and they are pursuing nuclear weapons. Do you think that Israel's going to be wiped out? Even what if Iran fired a nuclear weapon at Israel? I almost see Gabriel grabbing the rocket and just throwing it right back. Right? I don't know how, but I want you to read the scriptures. Because God says that the Jewish people are going to be taken out of their land. And they was the first time in 586 BC, the Babylonians took the Jewish people into captivity. And then the Romans took them in 70 AD. Two deportations, both times the Jewish people have been brought back. The Jewish people have been brought back to their land within most of your lifetime. Quite amazing when you think about it. Check this out. Isaiah 43. We've read it before. I think it's pretty cool. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. I will say to the north, give them up. After World War II, which nation didn't allow the Jewish people to return? Anybody want to take a guess? The Russians. Stalin's like, nobody's leaving the Iron Curtain. And so all the Jewish people from all over the world are coming back to their homeland. But there's a nation that's north of Israel. By the way, you want to know what nation's north of Israel if you kept going? It's called the Russians. What nation didn't allow the Jewish people to return to their homeland after World War II? The Russians. What happened to the Russians? What happened to the Soviet Union? Anyone? Collapsed in 1988. Y'all remember that? Berlin Wall came down, the Iron Curtain came down, and guess who got to leave for the first time in quite a long time? Which area of the world finally allowed the Jewish people to return to their land? From the north. The Russians. Did you know this is all happening in your time? In your time? You know what? I was in Israel in 2006, as a matter of fact, same time with Jacob, and I asked, we wanted to hang out with a rabbi. So this Russian rabbi spoke to our group. And he said, he was speaking to our group. He was a very wonderful person. He says, yes, we're looking forward to Messiah coming. And when Messiah comes, I'm going to ask Messiah when he comes, is this your first coming or your second? And he says, and if it's his second, then you Christians were right. But if it's his first, he'd throw his hands out, he'd smile, and he goes, and I'm right, and you guys are wrong, because we don't believe that Jesus is Messiah, because he didn't create a political nation, so forth. But he was the one that said, someone raised their questions and they asked him, why do you believe in God? That's a good question. Has anyone ever asked you that question? Why do you believe in God? He says, do you want to know why I believe in God? Because I'm here. And he's the one, he goes, I want to read to you Jeremiah. Let me read to you Jeremiah, he says. And he reads Jeremiah. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when it'll no longer be said, as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the countries where he has banished them, for I'll restore them to their own land. And he says, that's me. I'm a Russian Jew, and I got to come back to this land. Why is studying this important? Why is this important today for you and I as New Testament believers? I want you to take notes. Ready? In Mark 24 and in Luke 21, Jesus says the temple will be gone and the people will be gone. Write that down. But Jesus also says that the temple will return and the people will return before he comes again. What has happened since Jesus said these words? Everything's happened. Everything's happened. They were gone and now they're back. The temple was gone, and the temple, you want to be scared? Come with me to Israel next April the 1st. And Sarah, our messianic Jewish guide, she's a little deceived in this opinion. I hope she doesn't hear this message. Sarah, I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. She's all excited about the temple being rebuilt, and the Jewish nation is creating the Temple Research Institute, and they're getting all of the instruments for the temple, and they're ready to build their third temple, and this and that and the other. And it's really, it freaks me out when I go there. And she goes, Pastor Frank, let's go to the Temple Research Institute. And I'm like, Sarah, I don't really want to go there. The place freaks me out. Well, why does it freak you out? Because don't you realize, Sarah, that that's the place that has to be standing when the Antichrist comes? When there's a bad things are going to happen in the future that's made everything else look terrible or not as bad compared to what's coming. And she's all happy about it. But they're talking about it. I bet in your lifetime, you're going to see a temple in Jerusalem. And when you see that on CNN or Fox News or whatever, you just need to freak out. Because all of this has to happen for Christ to what? His coming is coming. How far away is the coming of the Lord Jesus? No one, Jesus says, will know the day or the hour, but you'll know the signs, just like birth pains. You won't know when the baby's coming, but it's coming. And when it gets more intense and more radical, you start going, it's really coming. Can I tell you straight up? I believe the Lord's coming soon. Now, what does that mean? 50 years? 100 years? 5 years? 200 years? Next Thursday? Next Thursday? If Jesus came next Thursday, would that be all right with you?
Oh, yeah.
What about your neighbors that don't know the Lord? Would that be all right with them? If Jesus was to coming back in the next few weeks, how should that affect the way you and I live our lives right now? Answer, if Jesus is to come back next Thursday, how should that affect the way you and I live right now? Shouldn't we be holy, righteous, live a good life, serve the Lord, be concerned for the people that don't yet know Him, so that they won't be left behind? That's the sermon of last week, right? Who's the most patient person you've ever met? God. But even his patience runs thin. Jesus described what the world's supposed to look like before he returns again. I'm just telling you straight up. You read what he wrote and you just look around at what you see and how your life is today, you all just need to sit there and go, this is awesome. Y'all, you're probably very busy people and you're probably living all your lives, but if you could just lift up and look a bit at what's going on in the world, you'll find perspective that you've never seen before. And it's serious and awesome. You know, the early church says, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord, quickly. Come. There's a great song, I believe it's Chris Tomlin wrote this song called Come. Even so, come. And I want the worship team to come up here because this is a good song. I want you to listen to this song and tell me if your heart doesn't resonate with this song as a Christian. It's really our heart saying, Lord, you come and I can't wait. But you know, as we sing this song, your heart needs to be burdened for those that don't yet know who this God is. So check out this song.
All of creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, a path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saint. Let every nation shout up your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Justice, all will be new. Your name forever, faithful and true. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. So we wait for you. God, we wait.
Would you pray with me? Lord, even so, come. You know, Father, we as humans made in your image, we as your children adopted into your kingdom, sons and daughters, we find it a great privilege to be called a child of the King, a child of the Creator. Lord, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy that you showed upon our lives. And the age that we live in today is truly the age of grace, an age of opportunity, an age of calling, for God calling people unto himself. But Lord, we realize and we know that your patience runs thin, and someday you're going to say that's enough. Lord, may we be ready for you. Lord, if there's any person in this place that doesn't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, may today be the day of salvation. As the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we settle our accounts with God and we receive his love and forgiveness upon our lives. If you're here today and you're not ready for the return of the Lord Jesus and you'd like to be and you want to receive him into your heart as a personal Lord and Savior, then repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe in you as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I believe you are the one who died on a cross for my sins, so I don't have to. I want to thank you for doing that for me. And I ask you today to wash me clean of my shame and my guilt before a holy God. I ask you, God, to write my name in heaven and to prepare a place for me in your kingdom when I die. Send your Holy Spirit upon me and make me new. And teach me, Lord, how to follow your Son, Jesus, so I will have no fear at his second coming, but I could sing a song of joy, of come, because I'm no longer afraid of God, because I receive his love. Make that so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.